Finnis Springs sits in remote desert in the north of South Australia. It's a place with remarkable history. The Arabana people, whose home it is, have had to cope with railways, mining, and now grain nomads in four-wheel drives, colliding with their landscape and culture. Arabana man Reg Dodd and filmmaker Malcolm McKinnon tell the stories of this part of the country in a new book, Talking Sideways. They come into the studio to tell Annie Haswell all about it.
I've known Reg for more than 30 years, and I've known a bit about the remarkable story of Finnis Springs and the remarkable story of Reg's family. And I'd made some little films and done various projects in that country. But it occurred to me that the story, with all its complexities, should be put down on paper as a kind of lasting record and a kind of instructive rendition of this story and all of its intricacies in the way that you kind of can't do in a film, really, because films always compress. It's the nature of the medium, whereas in a book you can explore things in more depth. So that was really my idea of wanting to pursue this project with Reg, and also my admiration of Reg as a storyteller and a kind of raconteur. I just thought it would be a really interesting project to pursue. So it seemed like a good idea at the time, and then about 8 years later, here we are eventually having finished something, and it's been a bit of an odyssey, I have to say.
So it's really a wonderful chat around through history and around a place that's called Finnis Springs. Now, Reg, absolutely integral to this is your story and your grandfather and your culture. Can you kind of start with your grandfather, your Scottish grandfather? Why was he such an unusual man?
I have no doubt that the events that happened within it, and I think it goes back to great-grandfather in the early years and when he settled and bought up some land in that Upper Strangways, so and set up a relationship between the Arabana people and himself as a pastoralist. Grandfather taking up or starting a relationship with my grandmother, who was a full blood, see? So you're looking at the turn of the 18th century, this event happened.
So if what happened at Finnis had happened everywhere?
Yes. Aboriginal people were working, the old Arabana people were working for grandfather, and they were accepted as human beings, that was the thing.
It was a respect, I suppose.
Well, the respect, yeah. There was respect and there was trust. So if you respect someone, and then it creates that trust. You can trust them. And this was actually what happened with Van Anna Cree, because the Arabana people were the sheep herders for grandfather and great-grandfather, and they were responsible for the stock and that, and caring for the stock and that.
Now tell me about the physical, what it looks like, what it feels like up there. It's desert, and Malcolm, you've called it a very difficult place to love when you first went to Maree, but it obviously is lovable country. What is it like?
It's our home. It's our identity. The land provides for you. And in Aboriginal terms, they identify the land as their mother. Well, the mother provides for you and feeds you. So that's the land. Everything we use, every day-to-day usage we have now, whatever's in this room here, comes from the land, comes from the earth. Nowhere else. Cannot come from anywhere else. So it's that land is your mother that provides for you and care for you. So growing up and living in that, and when we were there, we would go out and hunt and gather and that. So that was home. It provides for us. And so you have a feeling, you have a link connection within your heart that you have a sense of belonging, and you are there because of that land.
So Malcolm, tell me about Maree area that Finnis Springs from your point of view when you first arrived. You wrote a haiku, I believe.
That's right. I wrote a haiku about the flies and the mosquitoes, which are a prevalent part of life a lot of the time. But it is this intoxicating country, I reckon, but it's subtle, you know, and it doesn't give up its secrets easily. You've got to spend time looking. And I've been privileged to spend time in that country with Reg and other people of his generation, and it's amazing the kind of peripheral stuff that they see that your eye eventually becomes attuned to, which is to do with the kind of insect detail, really, and the botanical detail and the tracks of animals and so forth. But that stuff, you're not going to see it travelling through at 100 kilometres an hour in a four-wheel drive. You've got to spend time on the ground and be patient, really.
Now, speaking of four-wheel drives, I gather these days there's an awful lot of four-wheel drives heading out bush. Has that changed the character of the land, of the place?
It has. It's amazing you should ask me that, because I was going up to Curdie Merker couple of months ago, and we've just taken over, the Māori Aribana People's Committee has taken over the lease of that land from the Gan Preservation Mob, where they had the Kirimuka Ball. And I'm driving along, and I look and I said, there's something's missing, it's nothing, it looks different. And then I realised that along the side of the road there was this big old dead finished tree, been there for hundreds of years. And many a time we'd pulled up and had lunch under it or camped under it because we were travelling with horse and cart and that. And then it wasn't there any more. The chainsaws had taken care of that. And yes, the four-wheel drive and the chainsaw, it has, and they're driving everywhere with that respect. And again, it's easy to condemn the people, but they're ignorant to the fact of what they're doing. I always like to share a story that when Westing Mining was just starting to begin, and that was in 88, 89, I was working with Environment and Planning. And I was sitting up at the Bubble of Springs, and there was a group came over from the mines that were on break. There was probably a group of about 30 women, kids, you know, the family group. And at that time, there wasn't much of a relationship or love between Aboriginal people and the mining company because of what was happening. And I was sitting there, and as far as they were concerned, I wasn't even there. I didn't exist. So I sat there for half an hour or more, and then I said, well, it may be time I should go across and talk to these group. And I said to the group, I said, would you like to know about the Aboriginal story of the creation of the springs and that? They said, oh, absolutely. So we sat down, and I talked about the creation of the snake out there. And 2 hours later, we were still sitting there talking. And then when they got up to walk away, go back to Roxby, they said, we together have got to look after places like this.
Aribana man Reg Dodd and filmmaker Malcolm McKinnon speaking to The Wire's Annie Haswell about their book, Talking Sideways.